Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word, we pray that you would speak to us this day, and that you would help us to love and appreciate our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, more and more. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, bad leadership is pretty easy to spot. Because bad leadership causes disaster for those who follow it. And in our fallen world, it's pretty easy to find examples of this, either from sport or from politics or from history or business. Take, for example, Volkswagen. Not too long ago, it was revealed that their engineers had installed defeat devices in their diesel cars so that they would produce fake emission results when regulators would carry out tests on them. And at the time, Volkswagen's leadership was known for its ruthlessness, and they were relentlessly striving to become the world's biggest car company. And it created a culture in the company where people thought it would be a good idea to defraud their customers and defraud governments around the world. And how did this, you know, cutthroat, unethical leadership work out for them? Well, when they were caught in the US, Volkswagen was hit with this massive $15 billion court settlement. And there's other cases around the world with other governments going on. Or do any of you remember Kodak? You might not if you're under 30. I can vaguely remember my parents taking me to this place in my hometown where you'd drop off film and you'd come back a few days later and get photos. But up until the 1990s, Kodak dominated worldwide the photo business. They had the best brand, they had the best technology, and they had the best research and development in the industry. And in fact, Kodak scientists were the ones who invented the digital camera. But their leaders, the leaders of the corporation, you know, failed to capitalize on this. And they actually feared that the new digital technology that their own people had produced would eat into their very profitable film business. And so they kind of just sat on their hands and buried the new technology. And how did this backwards-looking, you know, lukewarm leadership work out for them and their employees and their shareholders? Well, in 2012, Kodak filed for bankruptcy. You probably haven't seen much of them since. They still exist, but they're just a shell of their former self. So that's what happens when bad leadership runs riot in the business world. But what happens when the church follows bad leadership? Well, that's what today's passage in Malachi is all about. And the spiritual leadership of Malachi's time was not very good. We've been going through Malachi at Berwick Anglican Church. We're going through our Malachi book this term. And remember where we are in the big storyline of the Bible. It's maybe 400 or 500 years before Jesus Christ. And God's people, Israel, they had been sent into exile for trashing their covenant with God. But God in his love and his mercy has now brought them back home into the promised land. And under Ezra the priest, they've rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. And with Nehemiah, like we looked at in our Nehemiah sermon series a few months ago, they've rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. God is living amongst his people once again in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, and all is well. And now, at the close of the New Old Testament's storyline, how do God's people respond to the kindness and the mercy that God has treated them with? Well, they're just a bit, you know, meh. They're lukewarm. Their service and their obedience and their love of God is half-hearted. And it's not entirely the fault of the people that the nation has got into the state it's got into. A big part of the problem is the leadership of the church. The priests, the guys who ministered at the Jerusalem temple, because they only half-heartedly honored God in their leadership. Now, a priest in the Old Testament had two main jobs. One, they ran the sacrifices in the temple. And two, they were to teach God's law, the scriptures, to his people. And as we heard last Sunday, God took the priests to task for failing in that first aspect of their leadership, because they were allowing people to offer their leftovers towards God instead of their best, through, you know, giving dodgy and lame and sick and diseased animals in the temple system. But how were the priests doing in their second aspect of their leadership, the teaching of God's law? Well, in our passage today, to help the priests of Malachi's time to see themselves as they really are, God compares them and compares their ministry to that of their great ancestor, to Levi. Levi was one of the 12 sons of the patriarch Jacob, whose descendants went on to form one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in Israel's past, you know, hundreds of years earlier, the Israelites, the descendants of Levi, they were these zealous keepers of the covenant. And they were men who greatly revered God. You might remember the story after the Exodus from Egypt, when God took his people out of Egypt. And not too long after that, the nation of Israel had its first big stuff-up. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai with God, and he was receiving the Ten Commandments and all that. And then down below, impatient Israel made a golden calf, a false god, and started worshipping it. And so Moses is up on the mountain, and he has to plead with God not to destroy his people. And God relents. And then Moses runs down the mountain, and the people are getting wildly out of control with, you know, worshipping this idol and this pagan revelry. And then in the midst of the chaos, Moses stands up and he calls out, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And who responds? It's the Levites. They're the ones who stood beside Moses and ended the wickedness that was occurring amongst God's people. And it's quite a violent episode. If you want to remember what happens, you can read it for yourself. But these Levites were the ones that returned Israel to worshipping and obeying the true God. And the Levites, they were leaders who zealously loved the Lord, and they would do anything and give anything to ensure that God was honored among his people. And so the tribe of Levi became the priestly tribe. So many years later, everyone who ministered at God's temple were descendants of these great Levite families. And so God's reminding the current priests in Malachi's time of their great heritage, and he's pointing to the godly character and an attitude of Levi. As God says in verse 5 of Levi, he says, "Levi revered me and stood in awe of my name." And then he reminds these priests of how Levi instructed his law to his people. Verse 6. "True instruction was in Levi's mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from their sin." Any spiritual leader of God's people, they're to truthfully teach God's instruction and be an example of how to live out that instruction so that God's people will be turned away from sin. That's what godly leadership in the church looks like. Leaders are people that are used by God to teach his people his word and help his people to grow in holiness so that he, God, will be honored amongst us. It's quite a responsibility. And Just like the church of Malachi's day needed good leaders, so does the church of our day. So, you know, we as God's people, we need to check that we only embrace godly leadership in the church. And Malachi's words about the leadership of Levi, you know, kind of give us a little guide in what to look out for. So with our spiritual leadership, whether it's Wayne or it's some bishop or, you know, another minister or, you know, a Christian ministry here at Berwick Anglican Church or somewhere else, if you want to know if you're following a good spiritual leader, you really just got to look out for three things. Ask three questions. Do they deeply revere God? Do they truthfully teach God's word? And do they live righteously as a good example? And if you can answer yes to all three, well, you're following godly leadership. But if you can't, we've got a problem. And the priests of Malachi's day certainly had a problem. Because the priests of Malachi's day didn't exactly measure up well to the example of their ancestor Levi. And God gives them his assessment of their character and their ministry in verse 8. He says of them, "You have turned from the way, and by your teaching you've caused many to stumble, and you have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty." In their half-hearted leadership, they failed to teach God's laws truthfully, they failed to live it out with righteousness, and they've actually shown contempt for God. And they've taught God's law in such a way that it's caused people to stumble. So instead of their ministry turning God's people away from sin, their ministry has actually caused God's people to sin. Their leadership's done the exact opposite of what it was supposed to do. And those under the bad leadership of these priests, they're suffering for it. Because if these priests had lived up to their calling, lived up to the covenant of Levi, then the people and the nation might have also loved and served God with their whole heart. But the rot that settled and started with the priests has spread out to the people. And things have now got to the point where God has to raise up this prophet Malachi to do the job of the priests for them and call the whole nation back from their sin. And so God will discipline these corrupt priests that have despised their office. He says in verse 9, "So I've caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people because you've not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law." Sadly, this problem of leadership in the church is not unique to Malachi's times. Today, God's people, we don't need priests to offer sacrifices for sin, because that ministry was fulfilled in the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. But we still need, and God still provides, leaders for his people to faithfully teach his word and to be an example of living it out. And today, as in ancient Israel, godly leaders bring blessing to the people that follow them, but bad leaders can bring ruin. And, you know, it's no secret that across the Western world, much of the church is in decline, and the office of the Christian minister, which I'm told was once a highly respected thing in our society, it's not that way anymore, is it? And increasingly, Christian ministers are held in, well, contempt. And I perceive that one of the major reasons this is occurring is that much of the church has not embraced godly leadership. And, you know, if you travel around different churches in Melbourne, you'll find that, you know, not all of them are like Berwick Anglican. There's good ones too, of course, but for too long, there's been too little reverence for God, too little faithful teaching of his word, and too little righteousness among the leadership of the wider church in Australia. We see this in lukewarm leaders that are kind of more interested in the stuff of ministry and church land, you know, over the worship and mission of our awesome God. Sadly, we see this in leaders that presume they can ignore or water down God's word, or claim that the Bible, you know, doesn't say things that it clearly says. You know, and we see this in the evils of the child abuse scandal, which has involved so many leaders of the church. You know, and you know, just more generally, just in church leaders who fail to practice what they preach. And in these days, as there's a drop in the esteem that's given to Christian leaders, you know, I have to wonder, is God judging the church and the church leadership across Australia, you know, for our collective lack of reverence and our failure to truthfully teach and our failure to be a godly example? And he might be. So let's learn from Israel's mistakes and only embrace godly leadership in the church. And brothers and sisters, let me plead with you. Please support and pray for those leaders who do persist in the hard task of faithfully teaching God's word in 21st century Melbourne. Back to Malachi. So what does God plan to do about all this? What's he going to do with all these lukewarm priests that have failed so dismally in their leadership responsibilities? Well, God loves his people. And he even loves these priests. And he thinks that the church is well worth fighting for. And so through Malachi's words, there's this great warning to the priests, but the warning is a mercy, and the warning is God's action plan to bring them back home. We see this in verse 2. So God says, "O priests, if you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings." And then quite graphically, he goes on to talk about what will happen with the offal and what will happen with their faces. Now, that might sound a bit harsh to our ears, but to warn somebody who's in danger, you know, is a mercy. And these half-hearted priests, they are in danger. It is dangerous to despise a holy God, especially as a priest serving in his temple. And it's dangerous to take, you know, the special ministry and the gift of church leadership and, you know, render it worthless. But God doesn't want to curse and to punish these leaders. He wants them to return to him. And so in verse 4, he says, "You'll know that I've sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty." God's purpose in warning the priests of their sin is that they might reset their hearts and reset them on him, so that their relationship with God will continue, and that their ministry, their priestly ministry of teaching God's people his word, will also continue. When you see bad leadership in the church, dishonoring God and ruining the church, you might very well feel like, you know, just simply turning your back and leaving the whole sorry mess behind you. And that's certainly my reaction in my heart sometimes when I see some of the things that go on in some parts of the church. But this is not the right response. And this is not the response of God to bad leadership in the church. Instead, he acts to fix it. And following God's example, when we see bad leadership in the church, let us be like Malachi. Because God's church, you know, us, God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the earth, it's worth fighting for. It's, the church is glorious. It's a great gift. It is us. It's the body of Christ. It is eternal. It will never fail. It will last forever. and it will give glory to God eternally. And in these last days on earth, when there are difficulties, it's worth persevering with, and it's worth fighting for, and it's worth fixing. So we should warn people about bad leadership in the church. And like the prophet Malachi, we should be prophetic and call upon and pray for wayward leaders to repent. And together we should work for the restoration of good leadership, so that amongst us, the church, the body of Christ, God's name will be honoured. Because the real problem that lies beneath corrupt leadership, you know, whether it's in sport or business or the church, it's the human heart. All human beings are fallen. No human being is capable of consistently meeting God's holy standards, let alone his standards for leaders. But in God's desire to continue his relationship with his fallen children that he loves, God came to earth himself in the flesh to do for us what the priesthood could not do. And that is to make a way to permanently cleanse us from our sin and permanently make us a community that honors God. Because in Jesus Christ, we have a great high priest. And he is the top leader that is set over all of the church. And he is working to purify us. And he's working to make us holy for God. And he will not stop until he is completed. Now, as it says in the New Testament about Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So if you see bad spiritual leadership, don't embrace it, but neither give up on the church. But remembering the perfect priesthood of Jesus, be like Malachi. Call out the bad and work and pray for the restoration of the good. For this is the will of God for his beloved church. Amen.